It is for sure with a bit of trepidation that I present this message, because how many messages could be presented using this one section of Matthew chapter 25? The second section is dealing with those that have gifts. And really, it's all about evangelism. It's the talents of Matthew 25. And so some people have been given a lot of talents, but they're expected to be using all of those talents, not just one or two of them, but all of them. Some people have been given two talents and they were expected to use all of them, not just one of the two, but all of them. And finally, the one guy who got only one talent, he felt like, you know, well, I only have one talent. I don't really have much to do. And that person was rebuked as a slothful servant. So God has given every one of us talents. And some of the talents that I think are astounding are the talents or the gifts of the Spirit. And you have the gift of faith and knowledge, and you might have hospitality. You might have the gift of healing or of various ministry, speaking, teaching. Lots of gifts mentioned in 1 Corinthians 12, Romans 12, Ephesians 4. And so we can know that according to the Bible, there are a lot of gifts of the Spirit. And when those gifts are given to us, we are expected to use them. Not for self, not for gaining pleasure or those various things, but rather for the winning of souls. And, you know, I can look back and say I've done a lot with the Lord and the Lord's done a lot with me. But I tell you, I am positive I could see thousands of things that I could have given more of an effort toward. I'm spent. I've got a lot to do and I'm doing something every single day. But there's still more that we could do, right? Of course, there are those times where even Christ said in the Gospels, come apart and rest a while. So we know there's got to be a balance, but every one of us has been given the gift of talents. Now, one of those talents that is very important is time. Some people have that love language, you know. I personally do. You spend more time with me, I get to like you more. And we know that a lot of animals have that kind of love language as well. The more you spend time with an animal, the more you love them, and the more they love you, rather. And so being able to spend time in a good way, quality time with the Lord, is probably one of the most important talents we've been given. Another one that is one of the greatest talents in the spreading of the gospel, in this evangelism outreach, is our speech. Also combined with our influence. You know, we could say something negatively like, yeah, I know what you mean. And unless you say what you mean by saying that, you might lead somebody down the wrong path, depending on the context. We've talked about that before, I remember, in this group. And so speech can be a great blessing, something that almost everybody has and everybody can use. But not everybody uses it for the glory of God. And so our speech can be detrimental. We also have, you know, the various influences that we can give through our happy attitude, being even timely, because if somebody's late and it makes somebody upset because you're not on time, well, that could really lead somebody to have less respect for you, and then you're going to have less of an opportunity to share the gospel with that person. This is a huge topic. The talents can go into so many various different ways and apply so many different ways to us as well. Your health is a talent. If the Lord has given you the ability to be strong and healthy, capable, even knowledgeable in health, well, then you have a great responsibility. You also have money. Money is a great talent for some. Money can sometimes lead people astray, of course. We know, just ask Solomon and his wives as well, going into relationships that were contrary to God's will. But that was a big problem with him. Kindly impulses and affections, talents multiplied by use. The guy who has one talent, the guy that multiplies his five to have 10. I mean, this is really an evangelistic section of the Bible. And why is it here? Well, we know that Matthew chapter 24 sets the precedence for end time specific time frame. Okay, it's a time frame of end time events. Now, we know, we've talked about the idea that Jerusalem was used and its destruction to illustrate the greater purpose of the time from the time of Christ up until the coming of Christ the second time. So we know that it can be understood that coming out of Matthew 24, you're supposed to be end time thinking. Well, going into Matthew 25, we know already that we've gone through the last time how there's an end time scenario with 10 virgins. Five of them are wise, five of them are foolish. We looked at that last time. And we can know that it's right before the close of probation, right before the coming of Christ, that you have to have the oil. We looked at the nightmare in Song of Solomon. We looked at the coming up out of a sleep in Zechariah chapter 4 and tried to understand a little bit more of what it was saying in regard to the oil and how we get it. That's extremely important because that oil is actually for the light that it can shine. What is the light to shine for? Matthew 5, we've already read in this series of studies. Let your light so shine before men that they may glorify your that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven, right? So really, your light shining and the oil that will cause that light to shine is really about your witness. Now, it's not your witness. I don't want to underscore yours, but it's your witness co-working with the Lord. And so the more work you do with the Lord, the more you will be able to glorify your Father in heaven. So now, going into the talents, knowing that Matthew 25, the first story, is end time specific, the talents are also end time specific. We also know that right after this, we're going to get into another presentation, the part 3 or C of Matthew 25, where we'll be able to see a little bit more of another end time specific scenario. So Christ, what he's doing is he's dealing with end time stories to help us understand a little bit of how to be prepared for the end of time, right before the close of probation, right before the coming of Jesus Christ. I think that's extremely important to understand because what we have is the idea that Christ wants us to be ready, and that's very important. It is not his will that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance, right, as it says in Peter. So we can know the stories that he's told, the illustrations, the allegories, or, you know, the parables, and try to understand a little bit more of why they're said in this context. Now, we know that this is right at the end of Christ's life as well. We know that the end of Christ's life itself is an illustration of the time of the end. We're going to get into that a little bit further as we get on to the latter parts of this book, which we're close already, but you know, there's still a few chapters and there's a lot that happens at the end of Christ's life. But knowing that it's at the end of Christ's life, knowing that he's hyper-focusing on the end of time, especially here in the book of Matthew, we should be able to pull away knowing that Christ wants us to be prepared. That's exciting. You know, he that which has begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of his Son, Jesus Christ. I believe he that has begun that good work is the Father, because the Father is the one that sent his Son. The Father is the one that sent the Spirit of his Son. The Father is the one that opened the communication network between heaven and earth by sending his Son and causing him to be the mediator whereby angels are able to ascend and descend. So we know that God the Father is the one that began this good work in you, and really it's about you being prepared. So God wants us to be ready for the coming of his Son. That's what's encouraging to me when I look at this story. But really, if you're going to learn more than anything I can share with you, please go to a book entitled Christ's Object Lessons and read the chapter called The Talents. That is an extraordinarily rich chapter, okay? Christ's Object Lessons. Anyways, I'm going to go now and share the screen and try to understand a little bit more of what it is that God is saying to his people and how it is that we should be able to understand as well. So, and it says in verse 14, which we know was just after, watch ye therefore, because you don't know when the Son of Man is coming, right? This is a new paragraph, but in that context of the Son of Man coming, the kingdom of heaven is, and you know that this is all italicized, and the reason why is because it's not in the original Greek. And that's why the literal translations, in this case the King James Version, is willing to italicize it. Because it's just the translators saying, you know what, people will probably understand better if we put this in as though it's a parable. Kind of like what happened in Matthew 13, rather. But anyways, for the kingdom of heaven is as a man, so it's a man traveling, Okay. And this word traveling into a far country, interestingly, the Greek didn't have a phrase for it. It says a man, it's not traveling, it's not into, it's not a far, but it's country. When it highlights in blue, that's the word that is translated traveling into a far country. So it's a man, country. That's really what it is there, as man, country. So it's just interesting how you can see when the translators did what they did, many times it was very helpful that they knew the language to be able to help us understand just what it was that the original language was saying. Anyways, that's just an interesting concept if you're using this program called Accordance. So it says, the kingdom of heaven is as a man traveling into a far country who called his own servants. These are his own servants. He is the owner of these servants. Now that's important because these servants are his, right? And so we're going to learn that the man traveling into a far country is really Christ. That far country is heaven. So Christ is traveling into a far country, and he sent out a message. He called his own servants, those that were his, that were Christ's, not just servants generally, like in the world, but rather they were his own servants. And he delivered unto them his goods. So, you know, like sent a message and some things through perhaps Amazon. No, probably not, but that's the idea, right? So a phone call and an Amazon package was sent. Or angelic messages were sent, and also the fruits of the Spirit, like patience, joy, love, long-suffering, faith, meekness, temperance, those kind of things, right? So those are the goods that Christ, the man traveling into a far country, would like to give his own servants, which, of course, are the fruit of the Spirit. Verse 15, now, unto one he gave 5 talents, unto another 2, and another 1. So altogether there's 5, 7, 8 talents. And every man according as his several ability. Now that's important to understand because right here, every man was given one of the talents, either 5, 2, or 1, according to his several ability. And straightway he took his journey. Okay, now what this means to me is if you have, naturally, you were born into a family that gave you really good, you know, genes. If you're born with natural talents, well, the Lord is likely going to give you 5. Some people aren't born with those talents. It's not their fault. That's just the lot that they've been given. But God still has given them a talent, at least one. Excuse me. It doesn't say about anybody that they have 0 talents. Okay. Everybody has at least one. You might not be able to walk or talk or use your hands or arms or whatever, but you might be able to smile. You might be able to use your eyes to blink it or, you know, wink at people and just give them that beautiful smile. I don't know, but you've got some kind of talent, okay? So now, nobody, as far as you're alive, nobody is left out of this group. Some people have more talents, some of them have less. You know, it's really amazing in that book, Christ's Object Lessons, it makes it clear that nobody is jealous of one having the others, except for the guy that's called the slothful servant. He was like really kind of upset because he only had 1. Well, the guy with 2, he was like, man, I got some stuff here I need to work out. And so the guy with 5, he's like, wow, I need to work out something here with these 2 because I've got something. And, you know, my master has asked me to do something with what he's given me. And so no matter how many talents you have, use it with and for the Lord, okay? No matter what that looks like. So it's according to his ability. That's how every man was able to get one of the talents. And straightway, he took his journey. Okay, so he is left. Who is he? He's the man traveling into a far country. And it's his own servants he dealt with. And so that far journey, which is, of course, one that he will come back from, we know that's the second coming, then he that had received 5 talents went and traded with the same. So he invested what he had been given. And as he traded, well, it worked out better. He made them other 5 talents. Them is supplied. But if it were me and I was guessing what them would be, it would be, well, this servant and his Lord, right? His master. So he and the master both have 5 more talents. And likewise, he that had received 2, he also gained other 2 talents. But he that had received 1 went and digged in the earth and hid his Lord's money. Now, after a long time, the Lord of those servants cometh and reckoneth with them. So after a long time, say since, 31 AD till sometime in the future, the Lord of those servants, which are his servants, he will come and he will reckon with them. So reckon, what is this reckon with? He will reason. He will, find out their motives. He will compute or take account of what it is. He will communicate, right? He will deal with them in the reckoning. So he will reckon with them. And so he that had received 5 talents came and brought other 5 talents. Okay, so wow, now he's got 10. Okay, so there's 10 talents saying, Lord, you delivered unto me 5 talents. Behold, I have gained beside them 5 talents more. And I'm guessing he said that with a big smile. Well, his Lord also had a smile, and he said unto him, well done, thou good and faithful servant. I love that phrase, and I'm sure you do too. I truly want to be a good and faithful servant. Now, a servant has a Lord. And I'm just going to show it to you because right here, Luke 6:46. Why call ye me Lord? Lord, but you do not the things which I say. And that's a good question. Why do you call me Lord, yet you're not obeying me, right? So obedience is involved here. So he is a good and faithful servant. Now, no man is good. Jesus said that. We can know that from the book of Matthew itself. Like, why callest thou me good? There is none good but one. That is God, right? And so Jesus, the guy that just came back a second time, or the Lord that just came back a second time, he said, well done, thou good and faithful servant. So Jesus in this parable is actually calling one of the servants good. I think that's quite interesting. Now, being good, of course, is not something that we have in and of ourselves. We know that our goodness is not of the human aspect. Our goodness comes from connecting with the divinity, okay? Having being a partaker of the divine nature, having escaped the corruptions that are in the world through lust. And we know that if we can do that, of course, escaping the corruption that is in the world through lust is a gift of repentance. Okay, we know that that's true in the book of Acts. We're given the gift of repentance. But if we're able to, turn away from those things that are contrary to God's will, then we have been able to escape the corruption that is in the world through lust. And having done that through his grace, his power, we are partaker of the divine nature. And that's where the goodness is. It's not, we don't even have divine nature. It's something, void of our human experience. But Christ's divine nature, which I believe is his mind, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. If that mind is in us, we are partakers of that divine nature. And we can, literally, we can be faithful. And I don't mean just like, 1 or 2 hours. I mean until Jesus comes. We can be faithful always. Every moment of every day, there is actual victory over sin. Read about it in 1 John chapter 3. It's astounding. That chapter is brilliant the way it lays it out. Like, if you sin, it's because Christ's seed is not within you. But if his seed remains in you, you cannot sin, because he remains in you. It's not you that's doing it, it's Christ in you, right? So really, it's about you being not better, but deader. If we die to self, Christ will live. If self wants something, nope, he's dead. I want what Christ wants. And that's what he gave us as an example in the Garden of Gethsemane. Not my will, but thine be done. And he did that unto death. I mean, he was ready to die saying those words, because remember, the angel came in the book of Luke, was able to strengthen him. And so the good and faithful servant is very important. We're good not because of what's in us. We're faithful because of who is in us. And we are a servant because we are willing to yield to our Father's authority and lordship, right? Of course, through his Son. So I think it's beautiful that we can be called a good and faithful servant. I want to be truly a good and faithful servant. Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over 5 things, I will make thee ruler over all these 10 things. OK, Okay, that's kind of the idea that I get from reading this, because he started out with 5 and he ended up with 10. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord. I love that. I want, you know, it talks about in Peter. I don't think I'll be able to find it, but I could maybe. Let me just see. I'm going to go to, now, let's see. Right here. If you climb what's considered Jacob's ladder here in this, you know, add to knowledge temperance and faith virtue and virtue knowledge and, you know, temperance patience and patience godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, like Philadelphia, and then finally brotherly kindness charity. So if you've climbed up this ladder and you're victorious, then if these things be in you and they abound, they shall make you that you shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. So here it's saying, the more you grow in characters, the you know, from faith to faith in characteristics, rather, toward the character of Christ, the more blessed you'll be. And then notice right here. Where did it go? I saw it just a second ago. Oh, here it is. Let me just read a little bit more. Verse 9 and 10. He that lacks these things is blind and cannot see to far off, and hath forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. Wherefore, the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. For if you do these things, you shall never fall. That's a promise right there you can claim. If you do these things, adding characteristics to characteristics by, that's a lot of trial. I mean, everybody knows that it's not easy to be patient all the time. It's not always easy to be full of love and joy and long-suffering, right? And but if you do these things, you shall never fall. Why? Because the seed of Christ is in you. And here's the verse I was looking for, verse 11. For so, in other words, as a result of what all this I just said about, for so an entrance into the kingdom of heaven shall be ministered unto you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. So that verse right there, when I first really tried to understand it, it really opened my mind, because think about that for a second. You're not just going to be led into the kingdom like a little door and you can just crawl in, right? No, no, there's going to, the gates are going to open wide and the angels are going to sing and you're, it's going to be like, you know, confetti coming down, and you're going to be walking down that golden aisle, and everybody's there for you, an abundant entrance for you into the kingdom of heaven. Now, that's the good and faithful servant. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord. That's what I read when I see that phrase. And to me, that's really inspiring. I want to be able to go into those gates. I want to be able to see the King on his throne, my God. I want to see his Son on the throne as well. Of course, we all do. But really, that's what I read when I'm reading this phrase, enter thou into the joy of thy Lord, right here. It says in verse 22, he also that had received 2 talents, he came and said, Lord, with a big smile, you delivered unto me 2 talents. Behold, I have gained 2 other talents beside them. His Lord, I'm sure smiling, said unto him, well done, good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over 2 things. I will make thee ruler over 4 things, right? So enter thou into the joy of thy Lord. Those that are faithful in the gifts that God has given them will be rewarded far beyond our imaginations. Verse 24, then he which had received the 1 talent came and said, Lord, I don't think he had a smile. Lord, I knew thee. I knew who you were. You're a hard man. I know you. Well, no, he doesn't really. I mean, obviously he hadn't been reading his devotions in the morning. I know you, that you're a hard man. You're reaping where you haven't even sown. You're gathering where you haven't even strawed. You're expecting much from this little tiny 1 talent that you gave me? Come on. Well, no, this guy doesn't know his Lord. He said he did, but he doesn't. He doesn't know that that same Lord would benefit him and bless him. But in turn, that same Lord that will bless will also curse. Don't forget, the Bible teaches us that we need to look at both the goodness and the severity of God. Here's the severity. I was afraid and went and I hid my talent in the earth, and lo, thou hast laid, or there thou hast, that is thine. His Lord answered and said unto him, thou wicked and slothful servant. Now, I don't think he said this with red, angry eyes. No, I think he was saying this in tears. Thou wicked and slothful servant, you knew that I reap where I sowed not? And you gather where I have not strawed? Well, if that's what you knew, then you ought to have therefore have put my money to the exchangers, and that at my coming I should have received my own with usury. Like, can you hear the voice there? It's like, okay, if you thought you knew me, why didn't you respond appropriately? That would have been more honest. That would have been more upright. But no, you're a wicked and slothful servant. You're one that thought you knew God, but in all reality you didn't. And so what does it say about him? It says there in verse 28, take therefore the talent from him. Now, what it doesn't say, give your talent up. This is the Lord commanding somebody to take the talent from him. Okay? Likely an angel. I'm just guessing based on my studies of other sections of the scripture. Take therefore the talent from him and give it unto him which hath 10 talents. So now he has 11, right? For every one that has shall be given, and he shall have abundance. But from him that has not shall be taken away even that which he has. And cast ye, wow, this is going to bring me to tears now, cast ye the unprofitable servant into outer darkness. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. When the Son of Man shall come in his glory, and all the holy angels with him, then shall he sit upon the throne of his glory. So we know that this is a context in the end of time. This is the context of Christ coming again. This is a context whereby we can understand that God has asked us to use the gifts that he has given us, whatever they are. Time, health, speech, knowledge, influence, money, you know, whatever it is that you have, use it for God. And you will be blessed. You will be far more blessed than anything you've ever imagined. The Bible says that in Corinthians. Eye has not seen, neither has ear heard, neither has it even come into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for them that love him. And so if we are willing to use the talents with God, God sends the angels with his spirit through the only mediator between God and men, and they will co-work with you. They will walk with you. They will encourage you. Read that chapter, The Talents in Christ's Object Lessons. They will even bring to your remembrance the right words during the day when you need them. Okay? This is a powerful ministry that God has given us. We can co-work with those angels that have a very long experience, working with lots of humans before you. And they have knowledge that they've gained through their years. They can help you. And for me, I want that kind of help. I need that kind of help. And so in my witness, in my using of what God has given me, I want to do it faithfully. I want to be a servant, a good servant. I want to be one of those that can be rewarded for that which I've done for the glory of God, not that which I've done for the glory of me. Listen, I've lived in this world long enough. I know what it is to be a servant of Satan. I served him well. And I served him diligently. I also want to serve God well, and I want to serve him diligently. I've been converted. That was 25 years ago, and I don't want to go back. And so if you'll pray with me, asking that God will give us all, me and you, every one of us, the gifts that and the skill to use those gifts in the way he would have them, he would have us to, then that would be a great blessing. Now, please pray for me. I will pray for you. And we will just pray that the Lord will continue raising up his people to have the talents that are whatever they are and to use them well for the saving of souls. So let's pray asking for that blessing. Our Father in heaven, I ask that you would please continue to lead us. Help us to be willing to be subject to your spirit, to your will, to your desires for us. You've given us lots of gifts. And Lord, if any of us needs to know more about what gifts you have given, then please reveal those things to us, either through blessings or trials. Either way, help us to know how we can fit into witnessing, how we can share your goodness, your glory, your beauty of character to this world so that others too can come and be ready for the coming of your Son. I ask that we would be encouraged to come out of our comfort zone and to really do something, especially this time in Earth's history. We know that the Son of Man, when he comes, he will come in all his glory, with the glory of the angels. In fact, the Bible says it will come in with your glory as well, which is, of course, his glory. So we ask that you would bless us, that we can be prepared for that time and also preparing others. Thank you for this, and teach us, we pray, as we continue on in this life. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.
When you mentioned the talent of time, it just came to my mind that it's not only important not to waste time, but also to be timely. And it came to my mind about the Israelites when they had been called to conquer a nation. I don't remember exactly what the scenario was, whether it was when Joshua and Caleb came back and they gave the good report, but they would not go forward. And then they changed their mind. When God said, when he called them to go forward, they refused. And afterwards, they changed their minds and they wanted to, and God told them not to go because he won't be with them. So it is important to be timely.
Right, that's a good one. So actually, yeah, that was like almost a reverse on time. They were too late, yeah, in a different way. Good.
Yeah, I was just impressed with this story. I haven't read it for quite some time, and just going over it today, I thought, the Lord had three servants. One third of them accused him falsely. Huh. I thought that was interesting. It just impressed me with that.
That's really good. Yeah, so you can really go into the whole great controversy theme, couldn't you?
Yeah.
How nice. Yeah, when I was reading the talents chapter in Christ Object Lessons, it's a long chapter, but it's really rich. If you guys wanted to do that sometime, maybe this afternoon in the Sabbath, you could. Hey, Bridget, I like what you shared, having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given us. So that is kind of the same idea, isn't it, with the talents? Severally as he wills, the Spirit gives us the different gifts. And yeah, interesting. I like that.
Thank you for the message, and I guess we leave it there, and we wish you all we wish you all a happy and blessed Sabbath.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you for having me.
God bless, twins.
Yeah.